Right, well, Matt Goddard is a senior lecturer at the School of Biological Sciences at Auckland University, and he's just discovered evidence of mutualism between microbes. Hello, Matt.
Hello, how are you?
You better tell us, I'm very well. You better tell us what mutualism is, first of all.
Most organisms interact with other organisms in some way. Sometimes that's not very good. Parasites, for example, interact with other organisms to the detriment of the other. Sometimes, however, both organisms benefit from that interaction, both gain, and that is simply a mutualism. So think about insects pollinating plants. The insect gains, it might get nectar, and the plant gains because it gets pollinated. Mutualism.
So that sounds pretty straightforward. What are you actually trying to find out then?
Well, whilst we've known about mutualisms for a long time, the way that they might become established in the first place is unknown. There's no general rule to help us understand how two organisms might come together for the benefit of each other.
So like yeast and a human, beer, we drink it.
Yeah, that's a special kind of mutualism. Yeah,
very special in my case. Yeah, and some very special mutualism going on in the pub last night between me and Simon. So what you're saying is that there's got to be a special sort of evolutionary niche there where there's a gap made and something can fall into it to help something else, and one scratches the other's back.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine how that would become immediately established, how both partners can immediately benefit. You know, it's hard to imagine how those things can suddenly come to be.
But why? Because I would think that there's lots of opportunities in nature for many rolls of the dice, and it's just chance that this thing happens to have something the other thing wants and vice versa, and they get together.
Yes, that's right, but at the moment we have no general rule to describe that. The only general rule that we have is that both partners must leave more descendants by interacting with one another, but there's no general rule to understand how that would become established in the first place.
Isn't the first sort of really fancy example of this that if we go right back to the sort of the history of the beginning of life on Earth, where you see the cells we're all made of coming into being, in the sense that you get bacterial type organisms snuggling up with more advanced cells like ours, the two then establish a relationship, and we still see these sort of bacterial cells living in every single one of our cells now, in the form of these things we call mitochondria.
Indeed, and that's a stunning mutualism. And you could take any other of the myriad of mutualisms in the biological world, and individually you could explain how that came to be, but the question is there a general rule that allows us to explain how mutualisms comes to be?
So do you think there is a rule?
We set about trying to test one of these rules, and so there's another central theme in evolution and ecology, which is called niche construction or ecosystem engineering, and this simply says that organisms, by their own actions, modify their environment to some extent, you know, from simply consuming food and making waste to more elaborate ideas like beavers constructing dams. And so this suggests that maybe an organism has a hand in its own evolutionary trajectory, because if an organism is modifying its own environment, then it's modifying the environment to which it's exposed to, and thus its selection pressures.
Wow, so the scenario there is I've got a cat. I put a cat flap in at home. Mm-hmm. Now, for me, that's a modification of my environment. I get a bit of a draft in the cat flap. It's a bit of a hassle. But the cat can come and go. It can have a crack at the local mice. I'm living in a rodent-free environment. When the plague comes, I'm going to survive.
I take your point, yes.
I've modified a niche, though. Is that...
Is it not fair enough to say there's another kind of mutualism going on between the cat and your kid's sandpit?
True. And that modification is something that I really don't enjoy, especially when you're going to scrape it off. But your discovery is specifically looking at microbes. That's been the niche modification.
So we put together both of these ideas, this idea of the evolution of mutualisms and this ecosystem engineering, and asked the question whether this ability of organisms to modify their own environment, whether that could be a general instigator for the evolution of mutualisms. So another thing that yeast kick out is a bunch of volatile compounds. So these are the things that make beer and wine taste and smell nice to us. But clearly yeast didn't make these compounds for us. There must be a biological reason that yeast kick out these volatiles, and that was unknown. So one idea is that they in fact kick out these volatiles as chemical lures for insects. Imagine a funny little microbe sitting on a bunch of grapes. It can't move. When that bunch of grapes is eaten or falls to the ground and rots, that microbe dies with it. So the only way this microbe is going to persist in evolutionary and ecological time is if it escapes. How's it going to escape if it can't move? Well, maybe it attracts something to move it for it. Maybe it attracts a vector. Maybe it lures in something that it can get stuck to and then gets moved through the environment. So the idea is that these volatiles that yeast kick out during fermentation are there to attract insects. And so we tested this directly in the lab, and we found that to be the case. We found that fruit flies, are differentially attracted to different types of yeast. and that those yeasts that are more attractive, in fact, get dispersed more in the environment, both in the lab, and then we went to the vineyard and did the same thing.
Matt Goddard, and Matt is a senior lecturer at the School of Biological Sciences at Auckland University. Thanks so
Pleasure.
Much for coming in. Hey,
thank you.
Round of applause. You're listening to The Naked Scientist, This Way Up with me, Simon Morton from Radio New Zealand National, and Dr. Chris Smith